Yo, it's the LRC. The podcast was a game, we be MVP. Knowledge is power, lend an ear for the next hour, and tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. We the best, numero uno, we like a sumo. Up against the straw weight, our content's great. We talking sports, pop culture, the square circle and all. You Shanky on the mic, mixed with Jinder Mahal. And we some Paul Heyman's, had enough,
I know,
can say when. Until then, we gon' keep killing Brian Pillman.
We're back here, LRC, Sports Talk Radio. Mr. Just Right here with my co-host, Len Biggs. Len, what's up?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good. So I understand Connor versus Connor last night, Bedard versus McDavid, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you're the NHL guy, Mike. You're not me. So I sprung it on. I mean, to talk about it, I was marketing all over the place yesterday. What? It was the biggest matchup in hockey to the future of the league here. Connor McDavid versus Connor Bedard. And I don't know what even happened. I don't know who won, so that's all I can say about it because I don't watch hockey. But I happened to see a Sports Center break, and Bedard scored first. And, you know, he seems to be the next face of the league. What do you think?
I mean, he's good, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a long way left to go. McDavid's got to do something in the playoffs. I mean, his legacy is on the line. He's running out of time.
Wow, run out of time? How long has
he been in the league?
Three years?
He's been in the league for a long time now,
Len. 3 years?
No, he's probably getting close to 30, probably, I would guess.
No way.
Let's look.
McDavid.
Yes.
When did he come in the league? When he was 27. He's been in the league like 3 years.
No.
How long has he been in the league?
He's 20. Okay, he's going to turn 27 on January 13th. That means he's been in the league. That means he's been in the league 9 years.
He hasn't been in the league 9 years. No way. He played college.
His first year was 15-16.
Okay, so yeah, 8 years.
They don't play college hockey.
Some do.
Yes, some of them do if they suck. Yeah.
A lot of them good ones do.
No, they don't. They come right into the league when they're 18 years old, fresh out of juniors.
Seth Jones, didn't he play college?
I don't think so.
He was a big high pick. I think he played college. I don't know.
What
about the Hobie Walker winner?
Hobie Baker?
Hobie Baker Award, yeah.
A lot of the times, I mean, they don't turn out to be good NHL players.
Okay, the best are already.
Johnny Gaudreau might have won a Hobie Baker. I mean, if you're going to the NCAA,
you're not one of those
studs. You're not one of the studs coming out of juniors. If you're one of the top picks, and very few even go right to the show,
right.
You know, you coming in at 18, your Crosbys, your McDavids, your Fantillies, and Zach Bensons that came out this year, you're going right from major junior hockey to the NHL.
Yeah.
You're spending no time in the minors. You're spending, because you got to decide. They either have to send you back to your junior team before 10 games are played or keep you on the big club. So that's how it is. You can't play in the AHL until you're 20 years old.
Okay, that's interesting.
And then if you're spending a lot of time in the NCAA, you're obviously over 20 years old, three, 4 years.
AHL.
A lot of those guys you'll see, they might get drafted earlier in the career as a not sign, and then go back to the NCAA, and then they'll sign as a free agent coming out. So, yeah, that's usually how it works. I mean, these guys, your Bedards, your McDavids, your Crosbys, they know 12 years old they're going to be in the show with all those guys. So tell me when they're playing in the playoffs, I'll tune in. Blackhawks, Oilers will play plenty of times before, you know, it's all said and done.
Oh, yeah. But it was big. It was all over, man. If I saw it, being advertised, then it was everywhere because I don't watch any hockey programming at all. So it was getting broadcast. ESPN had the game probably because it was getting shown on other shows and hyped up as the big matchup. So
I was tuned in to NXT.
Yeah, of course, me too. I mean, I don't know where I saw it. I just saw it. But yeah, of course, NXT, you know, deadline, follow up.
Nice
here.
Little show.
Yeah, good little shows. And it's the start of the men's breakout tournament.
Mm-hmm. I missed a few matches, so I got to go back and rewatch again. I saw Nikita Lyons showed back up again, looking good.
Yeah, Nikita Lyons is back.
Trick Willie, great promo.
Trick Willie, hottest act in the biz right now.
Trick James, bitch.
Trick James.
That was good.
That was good, yeah. There was some you know, festering story there between him and Mello.
Oh, it's festering.
Who jump who to who jump he, who knows? So that's all wrestling. That's all NXT and wrestling stuff. But we're here to talk football today, I think.
We are. Football. Yeah, let's stay on track here. I don't want to mention it, but I had a 6-9 record last week, just digging myself a hole deeper and deeper, week in and week out. I just can't get them right this year, folks. That brings my record to 110-82. Disgusting. Len managed to get over 500. 8-7 record brings his record to 123-69. It's a 13-game lead, ladies and gentlemen. Insurmountable. We probably won't even pick 13 games differently the rest of the year. So I'm just packing it in. I'm just going with the flow. I'm giving up.
Yeah,
letting it go. And
you've been saying it was over for a while. I don't know. But right now, right now, it's getting pretty close to over for sure. Unless I just start picking every game the way, well, against the way they should go, you know.
Oh, I tried that this year and it didn't work out, so I don't recommend it. Len. So what is this, week 15? Mm-hmm. Week 15. Yeah. First week of your fantasy playoffs. Most likely, I choked. In mine, choked away the first round bye, even though my team really doesn't deserve to be in the playoffs in the first place. So I got a tough matchup ahead of me against old Steve, who's probably got the best team in the league, quite honestly. And yeah, it's gonna look. It looks like it's either gonna be Steve, Glock, or Kamis, our good friends there. So
well, you were you went real wide receiver heavy.
I did.
It was the strategy, right? With Justin Jefferson was your first pick. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, and I went undefeated while he was on IR somehow.
Oh, really? Just like the breaking
fit. I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know how I did it. I'll tell you, he's really let me down is old Steph Diggs.
Yeah.
Big disappointment this year so far. They're really locked. Top corner has been locking him down. But the Bills, man, they're showing some signs
still
of life.
Still around. The interesting thing about this week's schedule, Mike, is there's six standalone games this week because there's a game on Thursday, three on Saturday, and then one on Sunday night, one on Monday night. So you got six standalone games. So that really, really waters down that 1 o'clock window on Sunday.
Yeah.
There's some really bad games in there.
It would not have been a good weekend for football
day.
Exactly. Right, which we took part in. We talked about last week. Just a wonderful weekend. Matty Funkhauser, Jerry Two Chains, King Crook, John Webmaster was there. Len and I, of course. Who am I missing?
Burger Daddy
was there. Wags was there. Yep, and the whole gang had some disappointing no shows. One valid. One suspicious. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, not. I mean, not happy. Not happy right now about the no shows. Obviously. Our friends B-Rye and Keita had to skip because of illness. So they're forgiven, obviously. They have a doctor's excuse. But, yeah, nonetheless, nothing was missed. We weren't missing anything because we had a great old time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Pizzas.
Calientes in Pittsburgh. Non-paid sponsors. But they great. Just treated us great there. It was a really good time. Had some pizzas. I had a rough time there because they didn't have anything that I wanted. I had the Motor City Madness just scouted out for 3 weeks prior. Yeah. Every day I was looking at the picture like it was, you know, I don't know, Kathy Ireland in the 80s or something. I was just looking at it like, can I get a piece of this pizza? I can't wait to get it. And then get there, it's not on the menu, it's gone. The other Detroit style, which is kind of my favorite style right now, Detroit style, and they didn't have that either, so we had to go a different direction. Nonetheless, didn't disappoint at all. It was all great. Chicken, hand-bread chicken tenders, they were out of those. That was my other order. But again, the food was still awesome. I just had to make the secondary option, you know what I mean? But they filled right in like a good backup should, like a Tommy DeVito would, for example, or like, you know, a Joe Flacco, someone like that. They stepped right in.
Yep.
But yeah, it was great. And then on Sunday, we had homemade pasta. From, you know, the Funk House, the man himself.
Oh, that's great.
Was just working his magic. Keita made gnocchi for us, which were absolutely perfect. And, yeah, it was just a good old time. Great time.
Great time. Thank you, Matty Funk, and all of our friends for convening this weekend, for having us down there. Look forward to it next year for sure. And look out, those guys, I think, are requested Wednesday night. the 13th of December. We're recording right now. They're recording tomorrow night, the 14th. They're running a little bit behind because of the football day action. Maddie's still getting back in the swing of things. So look out for the Funk House later this week. Let's get right into week 15, shall we,
Len? Let's do it.
All right. First game, Thursday, December 14th. We got the Chargers led by Easton Stick Pan. He is back. He's at the helm for the rest of the year. Justin Herbert is out with a finger procedure. They visit the Las Vegas Raiders, also 5-8. Nice little interdivision rivalry here. Thursday night, Len, I'm taking the Raiders at home, although this game is a classic Thursday night game. What do you think?
Yeah, this game is just one of the few games on the schedule that has no relevance. Because, I mean, there's so many teams that are 6-7 or 7-6 that almost every game you come across has some relevance when it comes to playoffs with only 4 weeks left. Both these teams are done. So there's no relevance in this game at all. The only thing I'm interested about that interests me about this game at all is actually Easton Stick getting his first career start. I believe first career start, I'm almost positive. I want to see what he can do if starting these last four games. I mean, this right here, he's probably been in the league 5 years,
I thought he was a rookie.
No, 4 or 5 years. Jeremy and I actually been following him since he came out in the draft. Jeremy, we just been wanting to see him. And he's been he was third string on the Chargers, second string, practice squad. He's off and on for the Chargers. He's been with the Chargers the whole time. He's never played. So I'm actually anxious to see him play. He'll be without Keenan Allen, who's just announced is out tonight. So he won't be playing. So that hurts, obviously. They're already down Mike Williams. They have Eckler. They have Easton Stick. I don't care about this game. So I'm going to give you maybe a layup. I'm going to take the Chargers here. I want to see Easton Stick win.
Well, I got the Raiders, although they may be down their main bell cow, Josh Jacobs. I didn't see an update today, but I know he wasn't practicing as of yesterday. So that's who they ride. AOC, you never know what you're going to get with him. Sometimes he looks like he could be a legit quarterback. Other times he just looks mid.
I mean, he looks like a classic rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, just a guy that's trying to get through it and figure it out.
It's a year of the backups and the rookies. Yeah. That's for sure. All right, Len. Next up, we have the Minnesota Vikings, who themselves are turning to yet another backup quarterback, Nick Mullins. They visit the Cincinnati Bengals and their backup quarterback, Jake Browning. Vikings still in the hunt. Bengals still in the hunt.
Yeah, this is an important game.
Very important. Vikings narrowly escaped another Justin Jefferson injury, but it looks like he's going to play after a nasty hit there on a suicide pass by your boy, Josh Dobbs. I'll let you talk about him in a second, Len, but I am going to take the Bengals at home in this one, although Mullins decidedly looks better in a short showing than Dobbs did the last few games. What's up with your boy, Josh Dobbs, Len?
Well, you know, the thing about Josh Dobbs is the story's come to an end. I mean, he's been exposed. He played too much this year. And, you know, there's just been the end of last year and this year, and the tape's been established on him now. He had some stuff going early on teams that were surprising a lot of people because no one really, even when with Arizona, it's not like he won any games. He didn't win any games, but he was just playing better than you expected, you know? And then when he came to Minnesota, same continued. He's playing better than expected early. Now he's just kind of hit the wall. I mean, this is who he is. He's a mediocre, or probably, I mean, not even mediocre. He's a below mid quarterback. He is. That's just the way it goes. But I don't think Nick Mullins is much better, to be completely frank. Jake Browning, meanwhile, has played very well. Very well. Now, only two starts, so, you know, it's a very short sample size. Either these guys are capable of imploding or exploding or whatever. So, I'm going to take Cincinnati at home. I just think they're kind of playing better right now. So,
yep.
I'm going to take Cincinnati at home.
All right, so we both got the Bengals.
That was 1 o'clock Saturday, so that's a 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
Saturday.
These are yep.
And the next two games also Saturday.
Yep, yeah. Saturday schedule. Nice to have some little Saturday games, something to look forward to on Saturday.
Yeah.
Next up, though, I don't know how much I'm looking forward to this one, Len. The Pittsburgh Steelers in the hunt versus Indianapolis Colts at Indianapolis, also in the hunt. Very important game as well for your playoff standings in the AFC. Steelers are back into the picture in the wild card with some help for sure. They're not doing it on their own by any means necessary, but they're going to limp into Indianapolis here. It does look like they're going to have TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, and the gang. But Mitch Trubisky is still the quarterback, and they just dropped 2 in a row to 2-10 teams, the first over 500 team to do so in the history of football. Indianapolis Colts, Gardner Minshew, serviceable. Len, I'm taking the Colts in this one easily.
Yeah, this is a game. I've had a cold streak since I was bragging about how good I was at picking Steeler games. I've been off because they lost to two straight 2-10 teams, obviously, games they should not have lost. And, you know, this is game probably most would say they should not win. I think people are happier with Minshew right now, obviously, than Trubisky. Now, Jonathan Taylor missed practice again today, so he's very probably out, I would say. He's probably leaning towards doubtful, but they haven't announced that. But Moss is capable. But nonetheless, I'm taking the Steelers here. I'm taking the Stairway, and I'll tell you why. There's been a lot of chatter this week from outside that team, from former players, most namely Big Ben Roethlisberger, questioning
the Steeler way,
the Steeler tradition. Wow. Is it happening in there? He's got Troy chiming in, Paul Amalu. There's some little bits of cracks in the Steeler family. And I'll tell you one thing. They don't like that. This is a tight-knit group. This is a tight-knit organization. I think there's going to be – these guys are really going to rally around each other this week and get a win off the toe of Chris Boswell.
Wow. Well, that's it, folks. The Steelers are going to win this one. This has been happening all year.
I mean, this is a borderline. I mean, it's not quite there because there's a lot of wiggle room still. This is a borderline loser-leaves-town match. I mean, this is a match –
it's getting important. To that point. Yeah.
I mean, this is a big game for these two teams.
I don't think I've predicted a Steelers game right all year. So if I'm picking against them, you can bet they're going to win. That's just the way it is. This team is frustrating as hell. I can't think of really a more frustrating time as a Steelers fan, especially coming into this year with decently high expectations. And man, it's just going to shit. Mitch Trubisky, Gardner Minshew.
Exactly. Another classic mid matchup between a couple 7-16.
Mid is probably exaggerating his abilities, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Fucked me in fantasy football, though. Sucked just enough to suck, but still scored enough points in fantasy to be the highest fucking scorer in our matchup this week in a shit show game. Yeah. Mid Trubisky, everybody. The calls for Rudolph, the fans had signs ready to go at the game for Rudolph.
At least we forget
how bad he was in his time too. But I don't know. It's classic Yinzerdom there, always pining for whoever's next man up.
Yeah.
Next up, Len. This is the decent little Saturday slate of games
really
here.
Important
Saturday slate. The Broncos right back in the thick of it here. They visit the LRC Lions, who are a little bit of skid. I'm very frustrated at Jared Goff. He's turning the ball over. He's fumbling it. He's throwing interceptions where coming into the year, he was one of the safest quarterbacks in the league when it came to protecting the ball. And they got to get their offense going, Len, big time, because they are showing some signs of weakness where, you know, maybe the hype got a little bit out of control on him, but they are still 9-4, so they're in good shape. They just got to right the ship here. I tell you what, though, Len, I'm going to take the Broncos in this one on the road in Detroit, and a little bit of a surprise. What do you think?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I think the Broncos are playing better than Detroit right now, and it's in a different way. But I mean, Denver is the one game they lost in this little streak where they've been winning these games 2 weeks ago. Russ had 3 interceptions, and it seemed really like they took the leash off a little bit and let him try some more deep balls, and it kind of backfired. But these other games where they've been playing close to the vest, keeping it close, slowing it, playing a slow game, and then Russ makes one or two big throws, like the one he threw to Sutton this week, boom, they win the game. The Lions, Goff, at the beginning of season week two, when the Seahawks, believe it or not, picked him off and helped win that game, that was the first interception he had thrown in like 300 and some throws or whatever, and it was like the second longest streak in NFL history or something. And now he has 10 interceptions this year, and he's not taking good care of the ball. They're not finding a way to get the ball into their playmakers' hands. The offense that was highly touted early has kind of came to a halt a little bit, and it's more running. The run's more successful than the pass right now, but I'm with you. I'm taking Denver as well. I think Denver's going to win this game. I just don't like the way Detroit's playing right now, but they're at home. They need it a lot. I'm still going to go Denver, though.
All right. It's going to be a good one. Looking forward to that Saturday slate of games. Moving on to Sunday now, NFC South matchup here. Carolina continues to skid. They host the Falcons. I'm taking the Falcons in this one, Len. I really don't have much to say about this one.
Yeah, Falcons too. Yeah, Falcons. There's nothing to say here. The Panthers are just terrible.
This game is a little bit interesting. Chicago at Cleveland. Chicago seemingly maybe starting to turn things around. I think the first back-to-back wins in the Matt Eberflus era here the last couple weeks, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Visiting Joe Flacco and the Browns, who are flacking it. I told them they should have stuck with Flacco when they were him-hawing about bringing DTR in. Flacco has stabilized that team so they can make a run to the Super Bowl this year on the back of that defense. But a couple of important losses. Okoronkwo they lost, and Grant Delpit, who they just signed to an extension, I believe, lost both of them for, I believe, the year. So that's a little bit of a blow to their defense. But I do think they get the job done here at home against the Bears. Do you agree?
I don't, actually. I'm going to take the Bears in this one. Like you said, it is an interesting matchup. The Bears are kind of playing really well right now in a lot of ways. I just think they've been kind of like Fields is like, sort of like he did towards the end of last year, like kind of fitting in, getting into a groove. They're starting to play better as a team. Browns, Flacco's been excellent. I love Flacco, and Flacco's been excellent. And I'm glad he's back, and he's playing great. And I like this Browns team. I just have a feeling Flacco's due for one of the, you know, to lay an egg. I mean, a couple of years ago, he looked basically, even last year as the Jet, he looked like he should be toast, not even in the league anymore. Now he's played two games in a row here. I think the Bears are going to actually win this game and kind of expose Flacco a little bit here.
Okay. Yeah, I could see it happening. It's a coin flip game for me. Chicago will be right at home in the elements there. Actually, I think it's going to be a pretty mild weekend in the Northeast, so weather probably won't be much of a factor in any of those games. Next up, Len, we got the Battle of the Bay. I always look forward to this game. Tampa Bay at Green Bay. Both of these teams snooping around, I would say, in the playoff picture, so it's important for both of them. Never know what you're going to get out of either of these teams. Packers made a push against the Giants to take the lead late, but they let Tommy Collins come back and take the game with a late field goal there. They play host here to Tampa Bay, and I'm going to take the Packers at home in this one, Len.
I'm going to take the Packers as well. Love had not a great game here and stuff like that, but he was able to drive down and get him the lead. And then the defense is just against Tommy Cutlets was one of my biggest pet peeves. You just set back off these receivers and you give them 6-7 yard catches and they turn those into 11 or 12. And then the next thing you know, they're in field goal range with no problem whatsoever. And you're done. You lost the game. It makes no sense to me. A young quarterback or an inexperienced quarterback like Tommy Cutlets, to me, get up there, press those receivers, and send 6 or 7 at them. Make them make a quick decision. That's what I would do. They didn't do that once on that drive. Pitiful defensive effort, in my opinion, down there at the end there. So, but I'm going to take Green Bay here as well. I'd rather see them in the playoffs, so I'm just rooting for them, so I'm going to take them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, this game could go either way, too.
No, Tampa technically is in the plus. They're leading the NFC South.
Right, so. Yeah. So they're in by an asterisk there as the division leader in that miserable NFC South.
Horrible.
Next up, I told everybody last week that the Tennessee Titans should forfeit their Monday night game against the Dolphins, and boy, was I wrong. Yeah. That's just, you never know. Any given Sunday, any given Monday, the Dolphins lost Tyreek Hill for a bit, no doubt, changed their offense, just couldn't get it going. Tua and gang couldn't convert those third downs. They looked like a different team without Tyreek out there making splash play after splash play. He came back in the game for a bit, made a couple nice catches, and then he wasn't in the game. So it's hard to say what's going on with him. Nonetheless, Zach Wilson did have a little good game for himself and his his return to that role, and they go down to Miami this week. But I do think Miami gets back on track here.
Yeah, that was like just a total gag job by the Dolphins. I mean, they were up 14 or whatever with 4 and 5 minutes left in that game and just gave touchdowns up, I mean, to the Titans. Just a terrible, terrible effort down the stretch there by the Dolphins. Zach Wilson, great little note here. Zach Wilson and Tommy Cutlets, Tommy DeVito, AFC and NFC Players of the Week this week.
Wow.
How interesting is that from these two teams? Terrible Very. Games and two quarterbacks that nobody had a lot of interest or hope in, and they both had big weeks, so good for them. But I'm going to take Miami as well. I just think they have to win this game because they, after this game, they have three very tough games coming up, very tough games. And if they lose this game, if they were to lose this game and get to 9-5, they're in a little bit of trouble. I mean, they could easily lose the next three.
Yeah.
They got teams. Yeah. They have the Cowboys in next week. Then they have the Ravens at the Ravens in week 17. And then in week 18, they play the Bills. So conceivably, you could be looking at Dolphins versus Bills for that division if they were to lose the next three and face the Bills for the division potentially. So this is a big game for Miami. I think they have to win it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they should, but this is one of those games it could easily go to the Jets if the Dolphins don't show up prepared or if they're missing Tyree, because I think he's such a huge part of making that offense go. All right. Speaking of Tommy Cutlets and his agent. His fixer?
His agent. That's fake. That agent is fake. I just refuse to believe that's a real person, a real agent, and like the fucking outfit. None of that's real. It's not real. That person is fake. I'm done with that thing. It's fucking the worst. Okay. It actually makes me hate Tommy Cutlets now, who I was rooting for, even though I said he was the worst quarterback that's ever played in the NFL. Then he stuck it up my ass. He's been playing great. I wanted to congratulate him. Then he brings that fucking dope to the game, and now I'm completely out.
This guy couldn't throw past the line of scrimmage when he came in that one game for Tyrod. Now he's electric.
It was unbelievable.
Now they're thinking about making him the franchise quarterback, Len. Yeah. They visit the Saints, though, who I can't stand this team, honestly. I'm going to take the Giants. What do you think?
Oh, I don't like this game. I don't like this game at all. And, you know, the Giants winning this would make it just interesting enough where they actually might be in that playoffs run. So for that reason and that reason alone, I'm going to pick the Giants because I'd like to see this playoff thing at the bottom just get nuts.
Sure. It's getting nuts.
I mean, the Seahawks are in it. Yeah,
There's a lot. I feel like there's like three good teams in the league and the rest of the teams are just.
The NFC, I mean, there's just so many 6 and 7 teams. In the AFC, there's so many 7 and 6 teams. It's crazy.
Next up, Len, we got the Oiler Bowl. The big thing here is neither of these teams are the Oilers.
Yeah.
One used to be, one should have been.
Titans are wearing those Oilers uniforms down into Houston now. They're wearing them for that.
They're at home. They're at home.
Yeah, yeah.
So they wouldn't dare wear them to Houston. No.
Sorry. They're wearing them at home against Houston. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tennessee got their first road win of the year Monday night against Miami. They're a little bit better at home, but let's be honest. This team is mid as hell, but everything depends on if CJ Stroud is able to play.
That's the big thing. I haven't heard anything further. Not practicing. I watched the hit, and I don't think he's going to play this week. I mean, I would be surprised if he plays this week based on the hit, the way his head hit, and the way he looked. Normally, that's the rest of the game and one more game before he came back. So I think Davis Mills, Mr. Longneck himself, I think is going to be in there starting. And to me, that doesn't bode well for the Texans. So I'm going to pick Tennessee here at home to win this game.
I'm going to pick. Tell you what, I'm going to take Houston regardless here on the road. It's a tough spot for them, 7-6. They're right in the thick of it. But you got to think about the long-term health of undoubtedly your franchise here.
Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville is only one game ahead of these guys. And Jacksonville, we'll be talking about soon. They play at Baltimore. They play Baltimore at home. But the Colts and Texans are also still in the mix for that division. Right in the mix. I mean, the Jags only have a one game lead. So,
yeah, it's tough. I mean, what do you do? You're in the thick of it. Do you push them to play. Now, if you're the Steelers, you just slap some sunglasses on them and get them back out there.
Get them out there like we get at Bernie's. Yep. Just put them out there.
Yep, that's what you do. And I don't know. All I know is I'm playing C.J. Stroud in fantasy, so for that reason alone, he'll probably get through protocol and play this week. But nonetheless, I'm going to take Houston on the road here. Keep an eye out for the health of C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
KC, Len, sputtering, Mahomes, angry. I think everyone kind of took some joy in watching old Patty get a little bit upset at the end of the game there on that offsides call. Guess what, man? Rules are rules.
Rules are rules.
He gets a lot of calls. He probably gets more calls than anybody in the league.
Yeah, I mean, the irony, he fucking, the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, both were decided on 50-50 plays that that could have called either way. I mean, does he forget the hold in the Super Bowl? I mean, the hold they called? He's like, let the players do it. You got to let the guys play. It was literally cost them the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl on that play. And the AFC Championship against the Bengals, he's barely out of bounds, if out of bounds at all, when he gets hit there and gets a 15. Yeah. That shouldn't have been a penalty either. That cost them.
That happened the other week, too, where he got the
exactly. So if anybody is going to complain, it can't be him. I've said it before, too. He's always pointing down the fucking field for those illegal contacts and holds every time he gets sacked. Whatever. The guy was offsides, clearly. What is there to argue about? I mean, you're not allowed to be offsides. It's a penalty. The ref doesn't have to warn you. None of that. It's such nonsense. And for him, and especially for Andy Reid, a guy I do really have a lot of respect for, who's a pro, has been doing this for a million years. I mean, to say like, they don't always call it, or they usually give a warning. Get the fuck out of here with that. The guy was completely offsides. It's not even close. So it's stupid. It was a stupid argument, and I hate the fucking Chiefs anyway, so I don't really care. But they're going to probably put 50 on the Patriots this week.
Yeah.
They're going to smash the Patriots because the Patriots suck, and they're pissed. The Chiefs are pissed off. So I think they're going to actually have a really big game this week.
Yeah, Bailey Zappi's coming back down to earth in this one, I think. Next up, Len, we have the Washington Red Hogs visiting the LA Rams. Red Hogs pretty much out of it. Rams still have a chance. I'm gonna take the Rams at home though. What do you think?
I'm gonna take the Rams as well. I mean, they still have something to play for. Commanders, I mean, that's over for them. But they have some things to look forward to next year. We'll see how it goes.
I skipped San Francisco to Arizona. I assume we're both taking the Niners in that one, though.
Yeah, we'll both take the Niners for sure. But yeah, the one thing that was great is that Sam Howell has actually scored more fantasy points this year than Mahomes.
Yeah.
So that's
awesome. It's crazy that we had it in the Dub League chat today. I think Eric D posted the quarterback rankings for the year, and they are not what you would have expected them to be. That's for sure. Dak Prescott, number two in the league.
Yeah.
Speaking of Dak Prescott, he takes the boys up to Buffalo after a convincing victory at home against the Eagles. This team, they're saying they're for real, Len. I'm still not buying it. This is a classic matchup here between these two franchises. What was it, two Super Bowls? They met each other back when they were both firing on all cylinders in the 90s there. I'm taking the Bills at home.
You know, you probably thought you were going to get just make one up on me there, but I'm with you. I think the Bills, I'm with you on the Bills here as well. I will say this about this game. The Cowboys, in every other year, I would have picked Philly against them last week. I would have picked, and I'd pick them, I've always thought they were sort of fraudulent, and I will say, I think this team is a little different, and I don't think that this team's as fraudulent, but they have to prove it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
However, the Bills are desperate, very desperate, and they need to win these games, and the Bills are the team that nobody in the AFC wants to see in that first round of playoffs.
No.
And nobody wants the Bills to get in, and they're going to get in, and they're going to get in because they are as good.
Yeah.
They can beat any team in this league, and then including the Cowboys.
Yeah.
One of the best teams, I think they're going to beat the Cowboys.
Now, this might get a little sloppy. I think Sunday there's going to be a nor'easter coming through the Northeast, but it's going to be a little bit more mild, so I don't think you're going to see a lot of snow. If it was snow, I would definitely be confident in the pick. I do think the Bills win at home here, and Dallas's Cinderella story hits a little bump in the road. Yeah, ever since week three or four, I think the Cowboys have looked a lot better.
Yeah.
I called them fraudulent earlier in the year. It's hard to stand by that now, but I've probably
called them fraudulent for the last decade.
Because that's what they have been.
It seems different this year to me.
Yeah, it seemed like they were really committed to running the ball now. Now it seems like they're really committed to just chucking it all over, and Dak's playing really well. All right, Len, this next one is going to be a doozy as well. Baltimore, Jacksonville, huge implications here for the playoffs, for the standings in the AFC and the playoffs. Ravens 10-3, Jags 8-5. Lawrence still nursing a little injury there to his ankle. I got to take the Ravens on the road here.
It's interesting. The Ravens been playing well. Jags have been scuffling a bit. They lost to the Browns there last week. Lawrence obviously not completely himself, but even without that, the big loss to me, because Lawrence is playing, is obviously Christian Kirk. To me, Kirk's been his number one receiver, and he's the guy he's most comfortable with in big moments, and now he doesn't have him. And I just think Kirk, to me, while he was kind of overshadowed by Ridley coming back and stuff this year, particularly in fantasy, people were all on Ridley, and Ridley's been fine, all that stuff. I still think Kirk's a superior receiver as far as consistency and, confidence. So that's going to be a big hurdle to overcome. I'm actually taking Jacksonville here as in the upset at home. I just think, Lawrence seemed like by this week he'll be healthy enough, pretty good move. But probably maybe a high ankle was a little bit of a overreach as far as maybe it was more just an ankle sprain, called it high ankle, because usually you don't come back that fast. He looked pretty normal, honestly, on Sunday. So sort of like I don't think Rodgers' Achilles is torn. Maybe he didn't really have a high ankle sprain. I don't know. Yeah. Either way, I just think Jacksonville needs a win here, and I'm going to hope they get it.
Yep, they do. Monday night's game I think is interesting too. The Eagles showing some cracks in their armor. They look like a unbeatable juggernaut at points this season, but starting to slow down a little bit. They go into a tough environment in Seattle. Len, you being the resident Seahawks expert here, do you think they have a chance in this one?
No. This is a good classic get-right game here for the Eagles is what this is going to be. The Eagles are going to win this game, and the Seahawks, this will be their fifth loss in a row. And they'll be 6-8 right where I knew they were going to be when that four-game stretch started after they blew the game to the Rams. They still have Cardinals, Titans, Steelers left, so they could still finish with 9 wins, 9-8, and still maybe sneak into the playoffs or something. But they're not winning this game. The Seahawks are deficient everywhere on the field. I mean, their defense sucks. A.J. Brown is going to just eat all day. If Goddard's going to have a huge game, guaranteed. The Seahawks defense is just putrid, particularly against the pass. There's gaps all over it. I don't know what's going on, but it's not good. Jamal Adams is toast. I think Quandre Diggs is pretty much toast. Bobby Wagner, while I have all the respect for him in the world, he still gets a bunch of tackles. He can't cover anyone anymore. Their defense just isn't very good, and I don't see any help coming. So my thing would be I think the Eagles win this game pretty easily, to be honest.
All right, I'll take the Eagles too then. What's Geno's status in this one?
Like, I don't even know. Play? Yeah. I don't know, to be honest. And doesn't even matter to me. Locke was fine on Sunday. It's whatever. I don't think it matters because I don't think their defense can stop Philly at all.
Yeah, I think Philly gets right in this one on the road, but it could turn interesting.
It's always tough in Seattle. They've won a lot of games up there they shouldn't have, for sure. Things can happen, for sure. A couple turnovers, a couple things happen, and all of a sudden this ball starts rolling. Yeah.
I tell you what, this isn't a bad week here. A couple stinkers on the schedule, a couple you would think gimmies here, San Fran, Arizona, and whatnot. It's a good week.
Besides, after tomorrow, all the Saturday games, the Sunday night game, and the Monday night game, all really kind of must-watch games, I think. They're all good games to watch. Saturday's nice. Unfortunately, I work all day Saturday, so I'll miss a lot of it while I'm out on deliveries, but I'll get to see a little bit here and there, So we'll see. And then the late game, I'll be able to watch all of it.
It's a good week. A lot of sorting out this week for sure.
Yeah.
That's week 15 in the NFL. Anything else you want to add, Len, on the football front, the hockey front, or the wrestling
world? I think just quick on wrestling, I mean, we haven't been here talking about much at all, but obviously CM Punk's back.
Yes, he is.
So his first promo I thought was nothing, a big nothing burger. I wasn't impressed with it at all. Then his next two promos came this week, Friday. I thought it was much better, much better. And, you know, he hinted at some things, maybe with Roman, maybe with Seth, which was kind of expected. And then Monday was the coup de grace, so to speak, as far as of the promos he's done so far. I thought it was a great one. Pretty much calling out, you know, everyone, saying this was his home. And then he, of course, got answered by the man there on Monday Night Raw, the world champion, Seth Rollins. And that was one of Rollins' best promos probably ever. One of the best in a long time.
Very, very real. Dose of reality.
Very real. Very, you know, important. And, you know, the line that I liked a lot from it, obviously, was, you know, if you stick around long enough, you know, I'll wrestle circles around you in this ring and show you what it's like to be the real best in the world.
Yeah.
And I thought that really hit home.
Yeah.
You know, CM Punk said that was your one free pass. I'll let you disrespect me this one time, but after that, that's it. And,
oh boy.
And declared for the Rumble. Yep. So, you know, I thought that was a perfect way to show that feud's coming, but it's not coming right now because Seth has to focus on Drew McIntyre and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then CM Punk will probably just wait to the Rumble. Maybe, I don't know, he probably won't even wrestle before the Rumble.
Probably not.
I wouldn't think.
No.
And then you'll get, you know, Rollins, McIntyre. Now, I don't know. Do you think there's any chance? I don't know. Do you think for sure they want Rollins and Punk to be for a title? Or do you think they want to get the title off Rollins before that match?
I don't know.
So that Punk's not carrying
it. I could see it either way. It's definitely going to main event one of the nights of WrestleMania, you would think, with Cody and Roman, maybe. I mean, The Rock is still a wild card, too, in this picture. It could go any way here leading up to Mania.
Still, I mean, we're still a lot of time, obviously.
And more guys, I think, more guys who you would think should be in that main event spot on either night than there are spots to be had. Guys and girls. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I was thinking, you know, I was listening to another podcast, wrestling podcast I listened to, and they said they were talking about theorizing what's Lesnar going to do? Is Lesnar going to come back before Mania? Blah, blah, blah. And I thought they hit the home run. It was Lesnar, Gunther.
Oh yeah,
seems like that's what you want
to. Yeah, you said we got what, Becky, Rhea.
Becky, Rhea,
probably.
Yeah.
Lesnar, Gunther, Punk, Rollins, Roman,
Jimmy,
Cody.
Who's Jimmy that? And Jay.
Jimmy and Jay. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be you would think these are all going to be Mania matches if it lines up like that,
Logan,
man.
Logan Paul and Bad Bunny, or Bad, Logan Paul and LA Knight, I mean, maybe something like that.
LA Knight's in there. It's going to be stacked Mania for sure.
They're so loaded with guys right now. They're just loaded with a lot.
Yeah, it's the women's side.
Women too.
Yeah.
I mean, the women too, because you're going to get, well, Charlotte went down with an injury, unfortunately, Friday. So we'll see what that ended being. But it looked pretty bad. If she's out for Mania, that takes one of the big matches off the card. But you're going to have Becky, Rhea, you think. Bianca's going to be in something big. For sure, whatever it is, I mean, whatever it is, it's going to be Bianca, Bailey, or something's going on there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and you still got Jade Cargill creeping around.
Perhaps.
What's happening there?
She'll probably debut at the Rumble, I assume.
That's what I would think. You know what I mean? You still have stuff like
can
that.
Can hide her a little bit there if she's not quite ready, but
yeah,
still
you
get
can
her out
have,
there.
Just toss four or five girls out of there, and then, you know, whatever, get snuck by whoever she's going to face at Mania, something like that. Yeah, so there's some stuff going on there, but we'll have a wrestling centric program here coming up in the next week or two with our re-gimmicking, talk a bunch more wrestling, talk Imagine Wrestling, talk all the wrestling. But for now, and then, you know, we're trying to do something over Christmas vacation here for a little crossover, Funkhouse and us, and see if we can get a super show. So keep your eyes out for that, you know, within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we want to try to get everybody in the room for a show over Christmas, and then once football season is over, it's wrestling up until WrestleMania. At that point, really looking forward to our re-gimmicking show for Shoreline. It's gonna be, we'll get Don Dawson and the Cancer CN Nick in here and talk a lot of squared
safe
action.
CM Nick's talk about, you know, about CM Punk. We haven't had one yet.
He's frothing at the mouth to get CM Punk over on this show. He's the biggest CM Punk mark we know.
Yeah.
And you can't convince him otherwise. He can do no wrong in his eyes. And boy, is his reputation on the line here over the next couple of months for sure. Because I tell you what, he did pop the ratings, Len. You look at that ratings graph, and it's a straight shot up for his segment.
And there's no doubt that if he stays around, I mean, the wrestling world likes it, loves him. You know what I mean? All these marks that went to AEW and stuff. I mean, they're just crawling back now because they're savior. You know, CM Punk's coming back. They're all crawling back. AEW's slipping. There's big rumors at the sea that Time Warner Brothers loves Punk. And so, like, the Raw might be going to Warner Brothers, which is also
One Bill Phil, they call him, right?
Also where AEW is. So could AEW be getting out of that? Are they going to be booted? Or are they going to be on the same network?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of crazy stuff going on right now in the wrestling business. And, we'll have a lot to say about it all along.
Yep.
All the time.
Yep. We're an interesting stretch here. Football playoffs, wrestling heating up on the road to the Rumble and Wrestle. We got to start getting our Rumble menu ready.
Oh my god, yeah, this, you're right about that. We do have to start getting it. We've run out of gimmicks. We need some new names. We need some new options. I mean, like, the last year was like tough to come up with anything, wasn't it, Mike? Now there's a bunch of new stars. You'd think we should be able to come up with something.
I might go to Moyo's and get some Bianca Eclairs.
Eclairs are good. That's a good one. That's all right.
I don't know. It does seem like it gets harder every single year.
It absolutely gets harder every year, for sure.
I don't know. I don't know. Because we're reaching into NXT, and then you got to explain to people like who they are. Yeah. Like, it's not as easy, you know?
No, it's not. Yeah, we're trying to get you got to get the big names. Like Cody Rolls, you know, obviously, or something like that. That's stupid. You got Rocky Rhodes?
I don't know.
You gotta do something with that.
We'll worry about that here in a few weeks for sure. All right, Lenny, anything else for the good of the order?
That's it.
All right, everybody. Well, that was week 15 in the NFL. That's some wrestling. Good to see Lenny out of the mobile office and
back in the room
here. We'll catch y'all next time. Champs are out.
Podcast was a game, we be MVP. Knowledge is power. Lend an ear for the next hour. And tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. We the best. Numero uno. We like the sumo. Up against the